thought you were coming to dance.
I did actually have a fantasy that actually, rather than standing up here and talking, I would kind of reveal a big sound system, which we would then get up and have a good rave. But instead, I'm just going to say a few things. So I don't think it would be overdramatic to say that I think that the invitation I received to join in the Shepherd's Dance actually gave me my life. So I'm just going to say a few things about the Shepherd's Round Dance, but I'm going to begin just with an episode from my own life as a way of illustrating what I see as this precious gift. So in 1980, I walked into the London Buddhist Centre. And at that time, that action, that moving to step into the Buddhist Centre, was actually an act of desperation. At that time, I felt completely frozen in myself. I struggled to speak to anybody. Found it very hard to engage with fellow human beings. At the same time, I was an artist. I am an artist. And so when I was painting, I was experiencing really fantastic bliss, joy, fantastic internal life. But the rest of my life was very painful. So I was desperate to find a way to bring these two worlds together. And it seemed that meditation might be a way to do that. So quite early on, coming along to the Buddhist Centre, London Buddhist Centre, I did recognise that meditation was a very effective way of building some bridge between these, the bliss and the pain. But being in the London Buddhist Centre, what was excruciating was at the end of the meditation class, you'd have to come out into the reception area and talk to people. There'd be this kind of, you'd step out of meditation and there'd be all these people standing there who seemed to be completely comfortable chatting to each other and at ease in themselves. That was how I perceived them. So I spent a lot of time really reading the notice boards in great detail and the covers, the backs of every book that I could find, anyway, to avoid coming into contact with people. Fortunately, there was a young shepherd called Kuladitya who each week seemed to arrive beside me as I was reading it again, the same way, and just asked me how I was doing. And I'm eternally grateful to Kuladitya that he kind of invited me into the dance room. And we used to gradually, we would kind of have, after these hellos, we'd eventually go and have cups of coffee together, go and have a cup of tea somewhere, and out of that, we then decided to head off to the Peak District for a weekend in the Peak District, just walking. And so we got it up to the Peak District. Saturday morning, Kuladitya said, well, you know, as a way of getting to know each other, why don't we spend a bit of time just sharing our life stories? Why don't you start? So Saturday morning, I started talking, and sort of mid-Sunday morning, I was still talking, and we were walking through this kind of valley, one of the kind of beautiful valleys. It was very bright, still morning, and in the autumn, and As I happened to be reached this place that I really longed to speak about, I was able to share with him the fact that I had been abused as a child. And that kind of just letting out that secret was, I felt great relief. And as I spoke it, as we were walking along, we went underneath a willow tree, a really ancient willow tree. And a single gust of breeze caused all the leaves on this willow tree to drop over us as we walked underneath it. And I felt blessed. I felt the world blessed me back into life. And that was a consequence of Kula Ditcha's putting his hand out towards me. So very grateful to that man and to the dance. So I've been thinking about the Shepherd's Round dance, and I'm rather intrigued that Banti chose this as an image, because traditionally a shepherd is by necessity somebody who's living much of the time at the perimeters, at the outer edge of community. They have to follow their flocks beyond the kind of easy pastures, beyond the kind of enclosed field systems, and have to head off into the marginal land. So I think this is very significant, that to really participate in Sangha, we actually have to have the ability to step into those marginal lands. We actually have to learn to separate and survive and flourish in the marginal lands. So the gift implies that actually we've all been called through this gate. We've all travelled through the gate into this half-known landscape. And we've all learnt to some extent to bear this sense of separation as actually the basis for relationship. So this is the shepherd's realm that we inhabit, that we've been given as a gift, but actually we're talking about the shepherd's round dance. So out of that being moving into the marginal lands, into the sense of separation that has often been brought about either through experience of suffering or great beauty, that seems to propel us into those marginal places. From that place, we discover a response. And that response is actually to seek and create meaning and solace through connection, through community. And so this is the Shepherd's Round Dance. This call and response, this kind of finding ourselves, really experiencing ourselves deeply, and out of that deep sense of ourselves, we then seek connection. And this is very traditional. This kind of process of call and response has been exemplified from the beginning. This movement out into the margins and then the movement back towards the dance has taken place since the time of the Buddha. Small groups of the Buddha's wanderers gathering at each full moon to share the Dharma and witness each other's practice. So this is the tradition, the great tradition that we live within. The weaving, living dance has always been held up as vital within this life, within Tri Ratna. So Banti, from the beginning, as we heard at the dedication, recognised the round dance is pivotal in creating this sense of an ever-widening circle. And in 50 years, this round dance has flowered incredibly. In our brief history, as Bent acknowledges, the dance has often been marked by his unusual personality. And so, for some of us, the early forms of the dance became very painful and unhelpful. Some steps seem to have tripped many in their clumsy interpretation of the round dance. For others, those earlier periods were truly liberating. And this year, as others have mentioned, as a community, we have been looking back at some of our early learnt steps. And this, for me, has been a really inspiring aspect of our renewing dance, because it reveals that the dance is actually a reflective living process that can't be locked into any particular set of steps. The dance is always more than a single person's dance, or even a dance amongst a very few individuals. The Shepherd's Round Dance emerges out of our collective participation and responsiveness, and it's sustained by our individual efforts to be true to our unique journey, whilst being open to the influence of others. So this is what brings ever renewing life to the dance. So this is what we celebrate today. And I think it's right that we do celebrate. What good fortune that Sangharakshita, with his incredible vision and all his passion, alongside his human frailty, did create this space for us to dance. What good fortune that we have this opportunity to be called out of our fantasies of separate and fixed ways of being. What good fortune that we have this opportunity to traverse the terrain of hurt and anger, of regret, and the places where we've become struck dumb by his beauty. And we do all this in the company of others. So what an insightful gift has been tossed at our feet. The Shepherd's Round Dance exemplifies the means by which we become more ourselves by being in ever deepening relationship to each other. It challenges us to bring our unique experience and sensibility to the ever renewing dance without gripping or resisting the emerging steps of the dance. Now, it's said that friendship is the whole of the spiritual life, and we could say that the dance is the means to embody. We could say that the dance is the means to embody the living meaning of spirituality. We meet and dance, we witness and respond. We share our journeys, our exploration of our inner and outer landscapes. And in our dancing, our responsiveness to each other, we create new images, new forms, new ways of exchange and interaction. In the 50 years of our community's dance, I've felt at times that attempts to control this dance risked limiting the ever-renewing Dharma. But I feel great optimism now about where we find ourselves right now. I feel our dance is leading us towards our collective spiritual death. What good fortune. Yes, some of the shepherds beside us might seem so drunk with pride or anger or bliss. It's perhaps difficult to find a way to respond to their steps. And others seem almost oblivious to the dance, swirling around them. And some are still clinging to the walls, fearful to join the throng. And yet the dance continues to unfold. How amazing. For me, it's important to remember what we dance around. the shepherd's round dance originated in a landscape around a sacred tree. And for us as shepherd practitioners, the sacred tree is the Dharma. We dance not just for our own celebration and amusement, not just to deepen our relationship to each other, to mark our common bond. This is what we're doing. We're dancing to mark our connection with the Dharma. And certainly, I trust that as long as we circle around and in relation to the tree of the Dharma, the dance will naturally liberate. It is the taste of freedom that guides us. We dance to embody the Dharma. We have each travelled like shepherds into the places in ourself that need attention, nourishment and honouring. And this in turn has led us to the sacred tree of the Dharma. What good fortune. I cherish the round dance. I aspire to become fully embodied, flexible and responsive to help trace these ever-renewing patterns of living Dharma. Thank you, Bhante. Thank you to the Tri Ratna community for the gift of the shepherd's round dance.